Before you sit down, I would like us to appreciate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can we give him a celebratory hand clap offering, telling him that he is worthy, he is mighty, there's none like him. We worship him, we adore him, we glorify him. He is wonderful. Amen, amen, amen. You may have your seats in the presence of the Lord. First of all, I would like to appreciate all of you for your warm wishes this morning. It was a surprise. I tell you what, I feel like Caleb when he was asked. He asked the Lord, "Give me that mountain." And I called my papa, I called my mom yesterday, and I told them I was just wanting to surprise my dad, you know, to tell him that, "Oh, you know, Dad, I just realized that I'm 5'0". And he said, "Oh, don't worry. I already got that long, long time ago, and I'm still here." So I said, "Okay, thank you very much." And I feel so strong. I feel energized to feel like I just begun, you know, to serve the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I thank God for what he has done. I thank God for his ability. I know there are so many people who would have wanted to be on this planet today, but they are not here. But we are thankful to the Lord that we are still here. Amen. And he has extended his love for us to just to serve him. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. Praise the Lord. Before I bring the word of the Lord, we have a guest pastor who has come all the way from Kenya. And I feel like I'll do myself an injustice to just bring the word of God without giving her an opportunity to come and greet us and probably give you a word that she has put in her heart just for a few minutes, and then I'll come and give you the word that the Lord has laid in my spirit. Amen. So together with me, please welcome Pastor Margaret to this microphone. She is, for those of you who have been able to attend Sister Christine's, and will be able to tell you much more about it. Christine lost her mother and back in Kenya, and we've been going there every day. And, you know, the woman of God has been able to minister to us, and she has just a rich wealth of the Word of God. And so it will be an honor for me to introduce her to you, and so she can say a word to you. Amen? Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made, that we may rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Do you have a reason to be glad today? I'm asking a question. Hallelujah. To be alive today, kicking, and well, it's something to thank God for. Praise be to God. He has given us an opportunity, and therefore we thank God. Margaret is my name. Gikwa. Yeah. For those who come from the Greek word, it means yam. Gikwa. Praise be to God. Yeah, born again, I'm saved, doing well, come from Kenya, Nairobi. We have a church, that's where we minister. 10 years ago, we shifted from Nyahururu to Nairobi, where we have been for 10 years, but we still oversee like 30 churches in Nyahururu sub-region, and we thank God for his faithfulness and his grace that has continued to abide upon our lives. Amen. The Lord just opened a door for me to come to United States through a business that I am in. Maybe you have heard about the Ganodama business, coffee with a difference. That's the business I do. It's a healthy drink that everybody should take. Amen. Praise be to God. So through that, God opened a door, because there was a conference in Tampa, Florida. That's why I was coming for the conference. Praise be to God. But when I landed here, I remembered I had a son whom I saw grow from the tender age. Praise be to God. A son who loved the Lord, his zeal for God could not be hidden, could not be stopped. Praise be to God. And I said, this is an opportunity to come and see where he is. Amen. And that's how I landed here. Praise be to God. But when I came here, the Lord said, I have a word for the people of Daras. Praise be to God. Tell my people to build me an altar. Praise be to God. So I was told to come and tell you to build God an altar. If you read through the Bible in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20, and all through the Genesis, God commanded and God demanded an altar to be built for him. Amen? Praise be to God. He commanded. He was commanding many people, Isaac, Jacob. They were commanded to build him an altar. So God values an altar. Praise be to God. And the altar number one that God wants us to build is an altar of our hearts. Our hearts should be an altar for God. That when you are moving, you are an altar. You are representing God. You are carrying the presence of God. So wherever you go, you are carrying God with you. So if you go to your place of work, there's going to be peace because you are carrying God of peace in that place. If there is sickness, there's going to be healing because you are carrying the God of healing in that place. Praise be to God. So we need to build God an altar of ourselves. We need to build God an altar of our homes. Praise be to God. And that is where the bone of contention was. Praise be to God. That God demand of our homes to become an altar. Establish an altar in your home. Praise be to God. Let your home be an altar for God. That when you kneel your knees to call upon the name of the Lord, he will answer you. He will come down. He will come and be with you. He will be your refuge. Praise be to God. Because you have established an altar in your home. Praise be to God. And another area that God was so much impressed and very much in cry and in pain is in the life of our children. I'm pausing to hear an amen. In the life of our children, praise be to God. The Lord demand that we build an altar in the lives of our children. Praise be to God. We are just about to exit, but the Bible says that when David was alive, he served God in his generation. Amen? And when his time was over, he existed. He existed. He exited. That was the word. God. He exited and went and slept with his fathers. Amen? But he had served God in his generation. I want you to know that you have an opportunity today when you're hearing the word of God to serve your generation. And how are you going to serve your generation? By establishing an altar wherever you go. Praise be to God. Establish an altar. And now, after we exit, there is our children who are going to come over and take from us. Praise be to God. And we need to raise up an altar in them that after we have exited, they are going to rise up and establish a nation, a generation that will know God. Praise be to God. Brethren, I want to press us hard that we need to do something upon our children. Praise be to God. It is true we are in the land, but we need not to allow what is in the land to come into our children. We must remind our children, we must remind ourselves that our origin is God. None of you did not come from a place where, in one way or another, your parents took you to church. Maybe you did not understand the reason. It was a bother to you, but in any way, however, you met yourself going to church. Amen. That is to tell you that our origin is God. Praise be to God. And therefore, we must not allow that the origin of God in us to go to die. But we must bring it up. We must put it to our children so that it can continue. Bible says that the children of Israel, when they were just about to go to the promised land, the Lord reminded them, as you go to the promised land, remember that you must not forget your God who fed you in the wilderness. Your clothes did not tear. Your shoes grew together with your feet. That same God who performed miracles, who gave you manna in the wilderness, who protected you from sicknesses and diseases, who fought your enemies, the same God is the God who is supposed to be worshipped after you go to the promised land. You must not forget your God. You must not go eat and feel merry and forget about your God. And he warned them, he told them, don't go and marry them. don't allow their daughters and your sons to marry them, lest they teach them their gods, in quotes, okay? They teach them their gods and they forget of me, Jehovah, who delivered them from captivity and spoke through the words of his fathers and said, I will take you to the promised land. The land flowing with milk and honey shall be your possession. But you must not forget. And this shall be told of your children. Thy children shall tell of their children of how I delivered them from captivity. And that story should not cease, but should be passed on from one generation to another. Amen. And I like that scripture as I finish that says that, and you shall teach you shall teach the law of the Lord to your children when you are in your houses, when you are walking on the way. Praise be to God. You will light lightings on the gates and on the doors about the faithfulness of God. That when these children see these writings, the words of God will be built in their spirits and in their hearts. Amen. I understand the kids of America, they have got a lot of cartoons, speaking, singing, and all that. And I was wondering, why could these guys put on the stuff of God in these cartoons so that when the kids are growing, at least they may know something about God? But I want to say, it is not right. We must take up, praise be to God, make sure that we replace every emptiness that is put in our children with the substance of God. Teach them the ABCD of God. Let the children, as they grow, let them talk about Jesus. Let them know when you fall, you need to call on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Margaret. Whoa. Can you appreciate the Lord? Amen. Amen. What a powerful message to the church in Dallas that we need to build altars for the Lord. Amen. And I just want to recap what the servant of the Lord spoke today. And I want us to go in the book of Mark, chapter number 10, verse number 46. The Lord gave me this message to bring to the church, and I had prepared something else, but I felt strongly in my heart the Spirit of the Lord speaking, and it's amazing, the last words that Pastor Margaret spoke, that we need to teach our children to call upon the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter number 10, verse number 46. We shall be very brief, and there are a few things I want us to do together here. The Bible says Jesus, it's about Jesus healing a blind man. Mark 10, 46. Then they came to the town of Jericho as Jesus was exiting there with his followers and a great many people. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. And when he heard that Jesus from Nazareth was walking by, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Hallelujah. Many people want the blind man to be quiet, but he shouted even more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, tell the man to come here. So they called the blind man, saying, cheer up. Now, these are the people who are quieting him. Now they are coming him because they are coming to him because Jesus had already hearkened to his voice. And they are telling him, cheer up, get to your feet. Jesus is calling you. The blind man jumped up, left his coat there, and went to Jesus. Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man answered, teacher, I want to see. Amen. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, go, you are healed because you believed. At once the man could see and he followed Jesus on the road. Hallelujah. I know you've heard this text many, 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 many times. I preach this text many times in crusades. You know, these are the favorite texts that we choose, Pastor Ndumia, when we are holding a crusade in a place like Kenya. But when the Lord gave me this scripture, I was like, Lord, I've preached this text. I've read it many, many times. What do you want us to do? What do you want to tell us? What do you want me to communicate to the church about, you know, about that is in this text? And the Lord was telling me that there is power in the name of Jesus. He told me to tell the church that there is power in my name. Amen? And many times, you know, we are caught up in so many things that we do here in America or whatever we do. And sometimes it's so easy to take Christianity for granted, or just to take it, you know, I'm born again and I'm going to heaven and I'm doing my thing, you know, I'm reading my Bible, I'm praying. And sometimes, you know, we come to the fellowship and we sing and we have a worship and we go home and repeat, right? But have you ever really consciously experienced the power of Jesus? Amen? Have you ever seen the demonstration of His power? You know, the power in the name of Jesus at work. Have you ever experienced that you are going through some situation in your life and you called upon the name of Jesus and you know that you know that you know that Jesus came to rescue me out of this situation? Hallelujah. This is what Jesus told me, that to come and tell the church that there is power in the name of Jesus. And I'm not just saying this because it is nice to say it. I'm not just talking about it, but I'm convinced beyond a shadow of doubt that there is power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Those that call the name of Jesus shall be saved. Hallelujah. Jesus is in a critical moment and He is making His final journey into Jerusalem. And He is just a week away from the cross. And I can imagine what was going through His mind, because He was God. He was able to know what the future held up for Him. And as He goes through, there was a large crowd that followed Him, as the Bible says. Why were this large crowd following Jesus? It is because of the power that they had seen Him demonstrate. Praise the Lord. They had witnessed Him opening up blind eyes. They had witnessed Him open and stopping ears. They had witnessed Him rebuking demons. And the cloud was drawn to what Jesus was able to do. And as He was going out of Jericho, he had already met a man called Zacchaeus. You know about the story of Zacchaeus, the short man? And He called him unto Himself. You know, Zacchaeus was short enough, and the Bible says that he was on a tree, and Jesus, as He was going towards Jerusalem, you know, Zacchaeus was in a position, he wanted to see who Jesus was. And Jesus called down to him, and He told him, today I'm going to be your guest. And you know the story, how it ended up. Zacchaeus ended up being saved. Hallelujah. And as he's exiting, I like that word, Pastor Margaret, as he's exiting Jericho, hallelujah, he has this so many things that are going and churning up in his mind. How is the cross experience going to do? How is the redemption for humanity? How is the plan that the Father has for the world how will it be fulfilled through me? And he is filled with agony, and he is filled with cheer, and their clouds, I can imagine, they were singing Hosanna to the Son of the Son of God. Hosanna to He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the name of Him who comes in the name of the Lord. They were praising Him, and they were, you know, just trying to cheer Him as He went into Jerusalem. But then there was this man, the Bible calls us Bartimaeus. Now, if you read in the Synoptic Gospels, it had different accounts of, you know, Matthew says that he was coming into Jericho. I think in Luke, he says that there were two blind men. But you see, the account of Mark was an eyewitness account. And he says that the man was stationed by the eastern side of the gate where people exited as they headed towards Jerusalem. And they were lined up of so many blind people. And this is what even used to be in the tradition of today. That every time in the sound of the footsteps, because these people could not see, every time they would hear footsteps, they would say, hey, have mercy on us. and nothing would happen. And every time they would hear the sounds of footsteps, you know, going, they would say, hey, have mercy on us. But these blind people had an ability to hear of what Jesus had done, particularly Bartimaeus. He had heard about the miraculous things that Jesus had done. And there was a commotion. People, they were stampede, you know, going by the gate of the eastern gate out of Jericho. And he had an yasi. What is happening around? What is happening? You can imagine him. I want you to see him blind. And he's asking, what is going on? I've never had feet like this before. What is going on? And somebody told him, quiet. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And you know what? He said, this is my moment. This is my moment. Hallelujah. He cannot pass by here. I've heard of the ears that have been unstopped. I've heard of the eyes that he has opened. I've heard of dead children that he has raised. This is going to be my moment. Hallelujah. And he started shouting. And he started saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And you know, like the church folk do today, you keep quiet. Well, don't you know? Who do you know this is? President Obama is passing by here. You can be arrested. Huh? Jesus, you need to dignify him. But the more they quietened him, I like it. He was never, the being hushed and to be quietened never stopped him. In fact, the Bible says that he continued all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Shut up. You are shouting, you're messing up the meeting. Huh? But he continued. But as Jesus was walking into Jerusalem, he says, I hear someone. I can feel faith reaching to me. In spite of all this agony that I have about the cross, in spite of all the things that I'm just about to face, in spite that I'm just about a week away from the cross where I'm going to be nailed for the sake of humanity, I feel some faith touching me. I feel a need touching me. And he said, he stops. The Bible says he stops still. Glory. And he said, bring the man to me. Glory be to Jesus. He says, bring the man to me. And he brings blind Bartimaeus to him. Blind. Now the people who are quieting him, they said, huh? Did he call you? They came and told him, oh, you know what? Jesus is calling you. He is calling you. Rise up, rise up. And the Bible says that he was wrapped up in old ragged there, and he rushed up, and he didn't even know. He didn't even have a clue. He didn't even have a clue who Jesus was. He didn't even know how tall he was, whether he was slender, whether he was a Jew. But in his knower, in his conviction, he knew that this was a man who was the master. Woo, Jesus. And he comes there blind. He doesn't even know. He's being helped, and he says, and he hears a voice. What do you want me to do for you? And he say, these things, these nobles that are on my face cannot see anything. Hey, they cannot see anything. And you know what? Jesus is touched by his blindness. He sees a man who just had faith, never saw him. Many times we associate things by things that we see. Amen? And let me tell you, the seeing generation sometimes, we miss so many things because of the things that we see. Sometimes we are obstructed from knowing the power of God and from realizing his will and authority because of the things that we see. Amen? We live in the greatest nation on earth and we think that what can be greater than America? Because we see. Hallelujah. But I pray to God that God will cause us to be blind in our own lives and in our own consciousness. That when we go to God, we are going to God in faith because of what we know we need from him. Oh, glory be to Jesus. And Jesus says to him, what can I do for you? Hallelujah. And when he looks at blind Bartimaeus says, I want to see. And Jesus, notice what Jesus says. He says, go your faith. Hallelujah. Go your way because your faith has done what? Your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. And immediately his eyes opened and he followed Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I'm here to tell you that there is power in the name of Jesus. I'm here to tell the church that there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Two or three things we can see about the cry. When he heard about Jesus, and when he let out this cry out to Jesus, number one, he was convinced in beyond any shadow of doubt that, behold, this is the man. I have stayed here for a long time. I have heard many footsteps. I have cried many a cry, but nobody came to my aid. Glory be to Jesus. But I've heard about the power in this person named Jesus. I have heard of what he has done. And right now, he is within reach, and I'm going to call upon his name. Oh, hallelujah. Number one, the call signified that it placed the authority of Jesus in his place where it belonged. In other words, the cry recognized the position that Jesus holds up to today. Amen. Let me tell you guys, the moment you're calling upon the name of Jesus, we need to be subtle. We need to know who we are calling upon, because sometimes I am calling the name of Jesus myself, and sometimes I doubt, am I really know? Do I really know who I'm calling? Because if I recognize the name of the person I'm calling, I ought to shudder and kneel down and know that he will come immediately. But sometimes the things that we see, sometimes the things that we hear, sometimes the things that we confront on a daily basis come to mingle around with the faith that God expects us to have when we call upon his name. So his call recognized the position Jesus had. He's the position of authority, the position of a willpower, the position of power that he had. Hallelujah. So when he called upon in the name of Jesus, he had no speck of doubt. This blind but mouse could not be stopped by any voice. I have been here before. What are you telling me? I will call upon this name because I believe that this man can open up my eyes. Hallelujah. The number thing that we can think about the call, that, you know, the state of his blindness, hallelujah, the state of his blindness just freed him up to have to surmount all this faith to call upon the name of Jesus. Do you know that he never believed God because of his sight? Faith never came to him because he saw Jesus. Today, if Jesus showed up here today, let me tell you, a multitude, every one of you would come kneeling down before him. Why? Because you're seeing him. But what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say when he was speaking about Thomas? What did he say? Blessed are those who will believe. Hallelujah. Blessed will be those who believe even without seeing. The fact that we have never laid our eyes to a physical Jesus doesn't mean that Jesus is not existing. He ascended on the third day and he is seated on the right hand side of the Father interceding for you and me. Oh, glory to Jesus. And when we call upon the name of Jesus, he is able to hear. Glory be to God. Number three, that we can describe or talk about or examine this call. That every time we want to call upon the name of the Lord, there's going to be opposition. Every time you have set your mind to pray, every time you have set your heart to seek the Lord, every time you have set your heart even to read the Bible, there's going to be opposition. How many of you that decided to read the Bible, and that's when you remembered, oh, I have not even checked on CNN today. And the moment you click on CNN, you know how it leads you? You want to see what happened in Russia? You want to see what happened in Yugoslavia? And you never even had any interest with Yugoslavia. You don't even know what Yugoslavia is. You don't even know whether it's a country or you don't even know whether it's a person. But you're clicking, oh, I want to see what happened in Yugoslavia. But the main intention was to read the word. I want you to know that every moment you set as yourself to call upon the name of the Lord, the devil knows that you have power and authority, and that when you let out a voice, it penetrates into this atmosphere and goes one by one, and it directs into the throne room of God. And the moment your words are registered in the throne of God, it invokes an action from the throne room of God. No person has ever knelt down or called upon the name of the Lord and it failed to provoke an action. You may not have an answer to what you are praying for, but that doesn't mean that an answer was not released. How do I know this? Ask Daniel. Amen? He prayed for the plight of the children of Israel, but an answer immediately was released. Amen? So I'm going to keep on fighting. I'm going to keep on calling the name of Jesus, because this name has power. Hallelujah. Just recently, I was going through a very, very tough time. I was given some information and really troubled me. I thought, now what am I going to do? You know how the way we human beings, it's like there's a barrage of emails, you know, virtual emails that come to you. Oh, now I'm going to die. Now I'm going to do this. Oh, now I'm going to collapse. Now I'm probably going to go to Kenya. Oh, you know the way sometimes you receive some news and all this barrage of negativity comes to you like a barrage of rain. What is going to happen now? And suddenly I went to bed. I don't know whether it's because of all these things that were hitting my mind left and right. But immediately I went to bed. I saw a dream. And I was swimming. I'm not a very good swimmer, by the way. But I know I can swim. You know, I cannot really drown. I know how to flip water a little bit just to keep breathing. And I know I can lay on the water like this and, you know, just balance my body so that, you know, it's afloat. I said, Julius, you need to teach me how to swim. So anyway, as I was swimming, suddenly there was this heavy rain and a storm that came. It came from nowhere. And I was in the middle of the ocean. And I found myself, I said, how am I going to make it? Because I could see the shore, but the shore was a little bit like maybe half a mile away. I said, you know, God, you know, now this one is going to be my end, because even the way I'm saying I'm a swimmer, I cannot reach that shore. And I started saying, help, help. But nobody came. But suddenly, I started saying, Jesus! You know the way you say in your dream and you feel like you're being choked? But I could say, Jesus! Jesus, help me! And let me tell you, suddenly I saw two white women on the shore. And I could tell by the way I looked at them, I didn't know whether they would come and save me, because of the way they were a little bit, you know, they were holding a towel, but I could see they were mothers, but I didn't know whether they would be able to swim and come and help me. But anyway, they came towards me. You know, they were trying to come, and I could see them coming, and they're coming towards me, and they're trying to reach me, and they're trying to pull me out of the water. And suddenly, let me tell you, God, let me tell you. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that some things are a dream. So I see these women, two of them, they are coming, and they're trying to swim, but they're like me, and we are not able to swim. And I can see them trying to reach out to me. And I'm trying to say, Jesus, help us. And then suddenly, there was an undercurrent. You know, by the way, I read about undercurrent. I didn't know what it is. But I experienced what an undercurrent is in the dream. It is such a force that pulls you towards the ocean. So forcefully pulling you towards the ocean. I could try to, you know, to swim towards the shore. But it's pulling me. And it's pulling me. And I said, Jesus, this is it. But I said, Jesus! Jesus! And let me tell you, suddenly there was this mighty force that every time I would shout the name of Jesus, I would feel a surge pulling me forward like this. And every time I would say Jesus, I would feel another force pushing me forward. And these women, I realized, even then they were being pushed by this power of Jesus, because they could not do it. And let me tell you, slowly by slowly, I never quit. I say, Jesus, help us. Jesus, help. Let me tell you, every time I mentioned the name of Jesus, there was this surge, and I could feel it. I could feel it, Sammy. I could feel it propelling me forward. Propelling me forward. propelling me forward. Every time I say, Jesus. And let me tell you, finally, we found ourselves on the shore. And I lay there prostrate and crying and saying, Jesus, this is your power. There is, and I kept on hearing this word, that there is power in the name of Jesus. That some of us are in the verge of to be swallowed and to be pulled by the undercurrents of life, and you may not even be aware where you're standing. There will be a suddenly storm maybe coming your way. But when you call upon the name of Jesus, oh my God. And when I rose up and I was sweating and I was crying and I woke up just calling upon the name of Jesus, and I heard the Lord told me, this is the message for the church, because there are some in the church that may be trusting on where they are standing. They think that the ground in which they are standing is strong enough, but there is a sudden undercurrent that is hiding their way. Hallelujah. And he told me, tell the church to call upon the name of Jesus. It is not my mistake. Pastor Margaret's telling us to build altars. Altars for our children. Altars for the Lord in our homes. Because let me tell you, troubling times are coming. Troubling times are coming, children of God. And it's all those who are well grounded and know the exploits of their God that shall survive this movement. Amen. Amen. And I was asking God, God, is it a thing that is coming my way that is almost going to drown me? And I had him say, no, it's a church. It is a church. It's not just empowerment. It's a church in general. Some of us are going to find ourselves in difficult situations. And you're going to default into the thing that helps you every time. You know, some of us just default to our bank account. You have a resource. You have 20,000 that puts it aside. It's good to put some money on the side. But let me tell you, even that can evaporate like this. You know, some of us put our trust on our own understanding and we think that is the default mechanism. Oh, well, you know what, well, there's nothing so difficult. Especially us men, we say, oh, you know what, I'm going to have a solution no matter what comes. You know, I'm a man and, you know, this thing is going to, let me tell you, that's going to be nothing compared to that undercurrent that is coming, and it doesn't even care who you are, and it wants to suck you into the sea. Amen. And there'll be people, maybe representative of those women who are coming to save me, you know, and to rescue me. They look like they're really, you know, they're pulled towards me. They're attracted by the human kindness. You don't want to see anybody drown. And you'll have those people who would want to come to you trying to help you. But I want you to tell you that they have no strength. They have no power to rescue you. It is only the name of Jesus. It is only the name of Jesus. It is only the name of Jesus, church. It is only the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus has power. The name of Jesus has the ability. The name of Jesus has the anointing. The name of Jesus is right here. The name of Jesus is within reach. The name of Jesus just needs to be mentioned, and it will come to rescue you. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is within reach. Oh, glory to God. See, when the blind Bartimaeus was called by Jesus, he didn't bring everything that I was associated with his blindness. He said, I'm not even going to carry this cloak that I've been sleeping on. The Bible says that he left everything. If you want to go towards Jesus, there are some things we may have to determine to leave behind. Amen? Hallelujah. There are things that God is telling us. Yes, 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 you have to leave behind a certain things. And you see, when I was meditating about this scripture, what the Spirit of the Lord was telling me, this was a physical need that needed to be met. But how about putting ourselves in Bartimaeus' shoes? If Jesus, have you ever realized that you may have needs in your life that you probably maybe have put in the back burner? Oh, I know I'm talking to somebody right now. Yes, you may not really be willing to confess it, but there are some issues that we've done in our lives, and we've not even been aware that it had been a drag in our lives. Issues of unforgiveness, issues of hatred, and issues of malice, issues that have come to entangle. The Bible calls them the little foxes. Hallelujah. Church, every time I come to my house, sometimes I'm very hungry and I'm opening up the fridge, and the first thing that Catherine tells me, have you washed your hands? By the way, I don't like that. The thing that she tells me. She tells me, I'm coming home and I'm really, really hungry because I don't want to, you know, just eat anything out there. So I'm coming and I'm opening up the fridge, and Kit goes, hey, have you washed your hands? I'm like, why do you always ask me whether I've washed my hands? You know? And I realized, you know, they tell us that our hands have a lot of bacteria, right? Yeah? Can you imagine if God would cause you to see the bacteria? You'd be going like, you'd be seeing human beings that's going, what is this one? This one looks like a skunk. Ow! Can you imagine if God would cause you to see the bacteria on your hand? They say that you have 1,000,000 bacteria on your tongue. Really? But God, in his creativeness, hid that knowledge so you could never see your the bacteria on your tongue or on your hands. Amen? And so you assume, some of those bacteria are good bacteria. I don't even know how bacteria can be good anyway. But they say it's good bacteria anyway. Some will convince me about that. And some of the bacteria on your hand or on your skin could also be beneficial because it's an ecosystem. They're feeding on your skin and they're helping your skin, you know, remove some of the things, you know, I don't know. But anyway, this is what I'm leading to by saying this. How about if God would cause us to blot out the things that we're going through in every life? How about if Jesus would be passing by today in Empowerment Christian Center? How many calls can we hear? How many calls can we say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me? Are there needs in your life? Are there issues in our lives? Would we tell God to blot them out so that we can be able, like Bartimaeus, know that I need this. I need the healing of my eyes. It might be the healing of my heart. It might be the healing of the way I feel towards someone. It might be the feeling. It might be the healing of the way I take the ministry. It might be the healing of whatever it is, of my children. Maybe I don't like my children. But you pushed it in the back burner so that we can come in the church and pretend that everything is okay. But at the back of your mind, there's something that keeps on wagging its tail. You know it's there, but you've silenced it. But God is saying, bring it out. And I want you to be aware of it. Because when you're aware of it, we can call upon the name of Jesus. And Jesus can come and rescue us from that thing. Amen. I find myself telling the Lord, Lord, blot out my sins, Lord. And the more I tell him, the more I see my weaknesses. The more I see that, God, I failed you in this. God, I failed so and so in this. God, I failed the church maybe in this. And I'm telling God, let me tell you, man, this has been my prayer. I tell God, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew a right spirit within me. Create in me Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. I want to have the attitude of Jesus. When I deal with Pastor Francis, I want to deal with him the way Jesus would deal with him. But the more I'm telling the Lord, help me to be reflective of my life, the more I'm seeing, oh God, I feel like Peter sometimes. You know, when Jesus came to Peter, and then, you know, they toiled the whole night. Know the story? Huh? And when he realized that it was the master, he jumped into the boat and swam away and told him, Lord, I don't even come to you because I'm a man who is a sinful man. You know, when you have a self-reflection, and this is an intentional thing that we can have, Lord, I'm before you. May you pass your scanner through me. Lord, brought out anything that is before me. Lord, help me, Lord, so that I may see my weaknesses. Help me see the things that would hinder me. Let me tell you guys, the guy who is standing before you has so many weaknesses. And the more I see my weaknesses, the more I tell God, God, come and save me. Come and receive me the way I am, Lord. Because I'm undone. Purge me. Purge me, Lord, that I may offer a service that is expressive and that is pure before you, Lord. And I find myself doing things that I don't want to do. Like Paul saying, the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And the things that I'm supposed to do, I find myself not doing. Lord, help me. I want to read the word, sometimes I don't. I want to pray, sometimes I feel like my blankets are so cozy and warm and I don't want to wake up.
I want to just sleep like you, you know. But you know what? Jesus is here. And Jesus' name is powerful. I said Jesus' name is powerful. No matter what you're going through, Jesus is here. And his name is powerful. Those who call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. Amen. Hold the hand of the person standing next to you right now as we pray together. There are things that I want us to call upon the name of the Lord today. Your life, okay? Your life. Probably your life could be the opposition. And many times you felt like, God, you're calling me to do this and that. And every time there's something within you that tells you it's not time right now, you know. You still got a whole lot of time, you know, to do this. This could be the opposition that the blind Bartimaeus heard, you know. You keep quiet, yes. You know, keep quiet. The Jesus is supposed to be respected. It could be maybe issues in your life that are telling you, oh, it's not time yet. You know what? You keep going to the Master. You keep calling upon his name. Amen. Amen, church. Amen. There are two things I want us to call upon. I want you to call upon the Lord right now concerning your life. I will call the Lord concerning my life. Secondly, I want us to call the Lord concerning our family. I believe in the message that the servant of the Lord brought to us about building the altars. Call the Lord concerning your family. And finally, there is one of our mothers who is ill. Amen. And I would like us to call upon the name of the Lord on her behalf. Her name is Mama Elizabeth. You know her. She is in Kenya. And she has been sick. And she is in the hospital. You know, we want to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. How many of you believe that God is going to hear us. And God is going to heal her. And touch her. Because we are doing it in faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us do it right now. Everybody in this house, call upon the name of the Lord. Father, we call you, O God. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon our lives, O God. May we be reflective even in our lives. Father God, bring out anything, God, that will beset us in the name of Jesus. O God Almighty, in the name of Jesus. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. We are calling upon your name on our behalf, O God. Yes, things that we may be going through. Things that would have held us back, O Lord. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon us, O Lord. Father, we pray also for our loved ones, O God. We pray for our children, our relatives, those who may not know you, O God. In the name of Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon them. In the name of Jesus, O God, bring them, Lord, even to the family of God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Your name is powerful. Your name is mighty. Your name is great, O God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We lift up your names, O God. Father, we pray, Lord, even for our sister, O God. Mom to Elizabeth and Chico. Lord, we lift up, Lord, to you. Oh God, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon her. We send a word of healing. Yes, to that hospital bed. We send a word of healing. Even to our bed right now, to our body. Let your word be transmitted from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, let your power be transmitted. Let your power be transmitted. Let your power be transmitted in her body. Yes, let her recover. Let her recover. Let her recover. We call on your healing of her body in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We declare your healing. We declare your healing over her body in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, the Bible tells us that 2,000 years ago, you are beaten on the cross because of our sicknesses. We declare your healing in our body. In the name of Jesus, we send our healing power. We send your healing word in our system right now. in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the, come on, pray, church. Pray for her. Pray for her. Come on, intercede. Send a word. Send a word. You can do it, church. You can do it. Send a word. Send a word. In the name of Jesus, we declare your healing power. We declare your healing power. We declare your healing power. We declare your healing power over her body. In the name of Jesus. 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 Jesus. Jesus, Son of David. Have mercy upon her. Have mercy upon her. Have mercy upon her. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon our children. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Lumba Shandili Babusha. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My God, as a body, we send your word to our lives. We send your word to our relatives, to our children. We declare that we shall be authentic brothers and sisters in the name of Jesus. Lord, may you come to us. Blot out anything that would hinder your life towards us in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we declare the healing of Mama Elizabeth in the name of Jesus. As she lays in that hospital bed, we are sending this corporate word, a word of healing to her right now in the name of Jesus. We take power and authority and we rebuke the work of sickness. We rebuke the work of the devil. We bind every demonic power in the name of Jesus over her body in the name of Jesus. And we declare her healed to the glory and honor of your name. Father, we shall hear a testimony that you have turned around everything. The reports that the doctors have given are very negative right now. But we are believing in you, O Lord. And your name is mighty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, give Jesus a hand of praise. She is healed. She is healed. She is healed. Come on, say, she is healed. She is healed. She is healed. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. May God bless you. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah.